For the last 4 years, you came to this podcast to get your needs met, to be fulfilled, to get a pro wrestling, pop culture, and that oh-so-naughty feeling tingled inside with a little bit of crass sprinkled on top. Now it's time for your hosts, Chad Allen, Shelly Allen, Zach Romero, and Luna Lynn. You are tuned in to the IndieCast.
Opening a festive holiday version of the IndieCast.
OG IndieCast, too.
Yeah.
L'chaim.
So speaking of music, we'll go ahead and segue music-wise and into Christmas music, because I know this is something you and I were talking about.
True.
Zach, after we recorded last week's episode, was the Christmas movies out there and which one had the best Christmas music.
True.
So, and well, we started a debate and then stopped because we're like, no, this should be on the show.
Well, I think to start off here, should we go with a listing of, like, top to bottom of each person's Christmas movies? Like, should we start there?
I can easily give my, I can give a favorite. And a favorite.
Like a top three, maybe?
Oh, I could easily do a top three.
Okay.
That one's.
Okay, well, Mr. Confidence Pants, why don't you start?
Absolute favorite Christmas movie, and I know it's cheesy, and I know they play it every year for 24 hours straight. I love A Christmas Story, and I always will. I think it's wonderful.
No selling you over here. That's what that means.
No, I've never seen it all the way through, but I hate it.
I've seen it now as an adult, and I get it, but I don't give a shit. Like, I get it, and I, oh, yeah, okay. Don't care. As a kid, fucking hate it. As a kid, like, all, whole family sitting on the couch watching, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go, like, drink bleach or something. This is awful.
Like, can we go back to the religious movies?
Yeah. I'm like, I'll watch Greatest Story Ever Told with a big old dumb smile on my face before watching this bullshit. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, okay. Don't care, though.
So
Fred Gile and
Christmas Story's number one, though, still.
Okay, terrible.
Polar Express is probably my second.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Do you hate Christmas?
I don't hate Christmas. I love that movie.
Do you love just staring at a computer Tom Hanks' dead eyes?
Apparently I do.
Awful.
I enjoy that movie wonderfully. And then, so it's like an A and B for part three.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's either Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Which I do love the Muppet version. Mostly, like, I think we've even talked about it on this show before. Because of, oh, God, why can't I think of the actor's name? Who played Scrooge now.
Oh, it's really Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, he's
who
the
completely
best
was like, nope, these are actual actors. I'm not playing like I'm playing off a fucking Muppet. You can go to hell. I'm playing this directly with Scrooge.
No, and that makes that movie.
But the 3B on that one would still be A Christmas Carol. But I want, like, the 1950s black and white.
Oh.
And, like, Shelley and I love that one.
I like the old school. Yeah.
Tiny Tim's a nightmare in that one.
I know, but
yeah,
that's part
really
of the
scary
fun of it, quite honestly. But yeah. The guy who plays Scrooge in that one, Alistair, I can't think of Alistair's last name on that one. I'll have to Google it.
Alistair Crowley.
Crowley?
Yeah. Yeah, Alistair Crowley, exactly. Don't think of Alistair Crowley.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of, too. I was like, I'm such a guy.
But he's excellent in it. We love that version of it.
So, so to sum
up, that's one we have to find on AMC every
year. Awful, awful, good answer, okay answer.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what he summed up there.
Nice, nice.
What about you, sweetness?
Let's see. I'm going to go with Tim Allen's Santa Claus.
Awful, good.
Yeah,
fuck
really
you.
Awful.
I no, love that's Tim Allen. It's a good movie. Scott Kelvin, hello. Bobo Gijo, he's sick. I say that all the time, and I don't
doesn't
even
make
need
it good
to. It, no, it's great. That's
and you're
great
right.
Song.
You don't even need to, and you do
no
anyway.
Alistair Sim, by the way.
I got
to go
it
look it up.
Don't
so
care.
There we go. Continue.
Okay, well, then you're going to fucking hate the rest of these.
You probably are, because you're already on a bad track of the Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah, not a good start.
Yeah, no. Oh God,
the Polar Express.
No, I don't even like the Polar Express. Okay, so my shitball one.
Okay.
And this is the legitimate, this is the shameful one, because I know that it's bad. And trust me, I know that it's bad. But when my sister was little, as anybody around
oh, no
little children knows, that you
oh,
have to
no
watch a movie 5,000 times when they like the movie, whether anybody wants to or not. So the fucking Grinch. Not the cartoon one.
The
oh, no.
The live action one.
The live action Grinch. I've seen that movie so goddamn many
times. Oh, and
times
you asked me if I hate Christmas?
Now,
No, yeah, you both are terrible.
She's the Jim Carrey version.
No, but like Martha Mayhew, by the way, is a fucking goddess. So y'all can go fuck yourselves because I love her. And Cindy Lou Who, I would fuck her now because Taylor Momsen is a gorgeous ass bitch, and she fronts the band The Pretty Reckless, and they're amazing. So all the way around, this movie wins.
No, you're both awful, and if you keep this up, we're downgrading you both to Kwanzaa. Okay, now
Jim Carrey should be dragged through the streets for that.
And you know who should be dragged along with him? Fucking Beep Boop Robot fucking Tom Hanks, because awful.
No, and like how many great reaction gifts are from The Grinch now, though, by the way? Like that when he's flipping through the phone book and the hate, loads entirely.
You know what's even worse?
Personifies millennials.
I don't know what's worse, actually, that movie or the fact that your fucking theme park, the one that you hold the flag for, drags out that horrible, like, that version of The Grinch every year for Grinchmas.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but they've been really dragging ass in terms of Christmas for the last forever. Ripping off fucking Disney with like, oh, hey, we've got a castle. Fucking now it's got Christmas lights now.
Right.
Come and pay us more money. Right. Like, they're working on it.
I actually watched the Christmas parade for that online fairly recently. Because
3 minutes of it.
It was a little bit longer than that, but it is really funny some of the characters that they have to drag out at Universal for it, because it's like, we've got a bunch of Shrek.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. Minions. How do they not just cash in on nostalgia? I'll never know. Because, like, you could put... They technically owned Crash Bandicoot, and they had the character meat of Crash Bandicoot for the longest time. They have all of Nickelodeon and Viacom
characters. That's all they need.
So you could make it a big fuck you 30-somethings Nickelodeon parade and sell out every day, but instead they're like, I don't know, fucking Blue Man Group. Anyway, to my answers, aka the person who...
I think she's got a third still.
Wait, what was that? Oh, that was your shitball one. Oh, God.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what three would be, because, like, my mother makes me watch It's a Wonderful Life, which I fucking hate. Although my favorite line in that is him just being mad and yelling, why do we have all these kids for anyway?
Which is sometimes a great question. I've even asked myself if I would only have two. So.
But it would probably have to be Muppet Christmas Carol, which I didn't really appreciate as much until I got older. Because, like, I love Michael Caine, obviously, but, like, we always watch the George C. Scott version. Like, that's the definitive, like, he's the definitive Scrooge, you know, as far as our household went. But, like, I really love Michael Caine. And the songs are catchy as fuck.
Muppet Christmas Carol was the Grinch equivalent in my house. I would force my family to watch Muppet Christmas Carol 1,000 times. And when we had it on VHS... That was like a fucking, I don't care if it's July, time to watch Muppet Christmas Carol kind of shit.
My eldest daughter, have you ever seen Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas?
I think I have.
I feel like you should almost review this someday.
Oh, I'll get that takedown strike by Disney. What's up?
But Cheyenne will legitimately watch that any time of the year because it's on Netflix constantly.
Oh, no.
And she will just like, Daddy, I'm going to watch Mickey Mouse. Okay, great. Which one are you watching? Once Upon a Christmas. The fuck, it's June!
So, my answers, because I have the spirit of Christmas within me.
The spirit of Christmas lies in your heart, Polar Express, baby! Pew-pew-pew-pew-pew-pew-pew!
You're the devil. So, number one is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's got the great music, it's got the ridiculous characters, it's got the... We literally are building a movie out of a song that's, like, less than 2 minutes.
Right.
So let's just throw in a lot of extra shit to pad this out.
Sam the Snowman.
Sam the Snowman, Yukon Cornelius, Herbie the Misfit Elf, the Island of Misfit Toys.
The Bumble.
Like, there's 1,000 different fucking side plots, because they're like, look, we already went through the fucking song in the first act, man. Yeah. Like, the deer are shitty, they're less shitty, his dad's a dick. We already blew through all of this. She thinks I'm cute. Like, there's 1,000 shit in that. So that's number one. Number two is Cartoon Grinch. And number three is probably Muppet Christmas Carol. But 3B is George C. Scott. Because he is a great Scrooge. He's such a good Scrooge that I'm always disappointed at the end. I'm disappointed he turns a leaf.
Then he makes his face turn.
Should have just kept being a dick. Like, he's so good at being a dick that when he's like, ha, 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 I'm like, cut that shit out.
So, thoughts on the Jean-Luc Picard version of...
Not bad. Not bad. He didn't tell anyone to make it so, which I was pretty disappointed.
Right. Mm-hmm. By the way, somewhere out there, Patrick Stewart's all pissed at Reed. Right. Like, referred to him by well, John Carter card stuff.
Weird, for whatever reason, it sticks out my head. Weird acting choice on his part when he wakes up at the end and he's like, oh, I'm a changed man. Patrick Stewart, like, tries to laugh, but, like, he, like, can't get it out because Scrooge is, like, dead inside.
Right.
And it's just a really weird acting choice. Like, I'm like, hey, you're a new man. I don't know if this is the time to pretend to hawk up a hairball, but that's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, loved Rudolph. Also love Year Without a Santa Claus.
I was surprised that didn't make the list, all things, all pants considered.
Here's the thing. I feel like Rudolph has decent pacing through mm-hmm. it. Like, the story gets cutesy at times, but it's enough to, like, not be a drag. Basically, Year Without a Santa Claus is, like, opening is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Middle part is the balls, when it's like, oh, the fucking one baby reindeer and the shitty elf are, like, lost in regular world. Right. And you're like, why? What am I even fucking watching? Then you get Heat Miser and Snow Miser. Excellent.
Best, yeah.
Mother Nature. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Santa just kind of being pissed off and being like, nobody fucking likes Christmas anyway. And it's like, hey, man, I'm just here for fucking claymation shit. Like, why? I didn't sign up for any of this shit of, like, make me feel guilty for not being nice. And then the movie just sort of wraps itself up. So the songs and, like, Heat Miser and Snow Miser, A+. The framing of it, not so great.
Mm-hmm. So now
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I feel like you're getting a little more out of it.
So now, better movie, though. Year Without Santa Claus or Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
I do like Santa Claus Coming to Town. One foot in front of the other. Right. And mm-hmm. Kris Kringle and all that stuff, yeah. And Thumper and Burgermeister, Meister Burger. Like, right. That one I can live with. But again, I feel like that one gets a little... Rudolph is a good balance of we've got a limited amount of source material and we're dealing with padding.
Right.
Santa Claus Coming to Town, I feel like, doesn't have the ratio quite right. Like, there's some things that are like, okay, great. But it's like... Oh, okay. There's some parts where you're like, oh, we're getting a little off. This is weird. Okay, I get it.
My favorite part is...
The Winter Warlock. All right, that's weird.
Yeah, the Winter Warlock is weird, but my favorite part is that they've cut now every year when they play it.
Oh, really?
Is they cut... They don't cut Winter Warlock. He's still around.
Okay, that's good.
They cut his love interest, who ultimately becomes Mrs. Claus.
Right.
Actually has a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never play it anymore. Because it's the one part where it goes animated. Like, it goes from claymation animated hand-drawn, and they cut it every year now.
That's so crazy.
Right. And I legitimately thought I was crazy for a little bit that I was making this shit up.
Yeah.
And I went to YouTube and found it, and like, no, here it is.
Santa Claus Coming to Town tripping ball scene.
Right. Go. Pretty much. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they cut it now. Watched it last week, and I'm like, Where's the scene? It's
I was going to say, though, to your point of quoting live-action Grinch,
mm-hmm.
there, Muppet Christmas Carol, absolutely. Like, we still fucking quote the goddamn, the old man at the fuzzy wig party.
That's true.
When he gives a speech. That was terrible! It was stupid! It was dumb! It was short! We loved it! Like, that's all.
Now, you know the one my friends and I always used to quote was the following line, and I'm sure you know exactly where it goes. How would you all like to be... Unemployed!
Heatwave! Yeah, Michael Caine just getting pissed off.
My friends entertaining. My friends and I used to sing that entire Heatwave song all the time. And it just took one person to do the unemployed line, and the rest of us would jump in.
Yeah, and Kermit's great in that line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's after Jim died, right? Was that after Jim Henson died?
I don't know.
I think that might have been one of the first things they did after Jim Henson
died. And
they
nailed it. Like,
yeah, super duper.
And Miss Piggy and the fucking and their daughters and... Yeah. I'm Belinda. I'm Bettina. Whatever. She's like, I don't give a shit.
The only one anybody cares about is Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Right.
And like the giant Ghost of Christmas. Which that was weird too. The Ghost of Christmas Present is like the same size as Michael Caine. Like it's a full dude.
Yeah.
Like it's fucking Labyrinth or some shit.
And well, it's like he's always big.
It's like when they do, because in the bookies.
No, I get that, but just like the fact that, okay, so when Michael Caine first sees him and he's like filling up the whole room.
Right.
Like, you could still do that as a regular sized puppet. You would just have to build a smaller, like, diorama for it to exist in. But then, like, they're walking through the town and shit, and...
No, he's a man-sized
puppet. Yeah, like, there's a dude dressed as a puppet.
Right.
Talking with Michael Caine.
Well, it's a lot like how they do, Sweetums.
Oh, that's true.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what Sweetums is a run out, which is, by the way, when speaking back to my parks, whenever I go, that's the only reason I go in to see the Muppet 3D, because I actually don't like the Muppet 3D thing that they do. But they have Sweetums run out at the end.
Aww. That's true.
And I'm a 3-year-old every time Sweetums runs out. I love it when Sweetums comes out. That's all I care. Or the fact that the Statler and Waldorf are up in the
Gallery.
Those are the only two good things about that.
That's legit.
I don't like that. I wish they would change it. I don't know what they would do to change it, though. But they should change it. Really.
What's your big beef with it?
I just find it, I find the, like, the, hey, the wacky 3D character that's causing havoc, I find that character annoying, and that's the base of the entire, of the entire show. So if I hate that character, I don't care which Muppets you put around it, that character sucks, and then it ruins the whole thing.
That's true, yeah. That's legit.
But,
there was a weird, I want to say there's, like, a weird Hollywood-themed ride in California that had the Muppets in it for a second.
Yeah, Would you like to know what that was?
I watched Defunctland on it.
I watched the same Defunctland fairly recently.
Yeah.
Yes, it used
love that show.
It used to be a ride. It was supposed
Kevin
to
Kevin Perger, like, come be on our podcast.
Yes, we will tag on that because I would love Tim Tracker and Kevin Perger. Both of you need to come on this podcast sometime.
Yeah,
I will tag you. We'll both ignore it, but I will tag you anyway to make it happen. But they had some like wacky Hollywood ride that was supposed to be like this roller coaster ride, like a roller coaster limo ride through Hollywood where you're getting away from the paparazzi. That was the whole idea of this ride. So it was going to ultimately end up looking almost like fucking Rock and Roller Coaster.
I was just going to say, like, just slap Aerosmith on it.
Well, this is before Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
So they go ahead and get this all set up. They get the ride together to go. And then Princess Diana dies. From being chased by the paparazzi, they're like,
"Sweet merciful Christ!"
Yeah. So they take out all the paparazzi references and then make the ride a slow ride. They make it a dark ride, basically, where they had all these weird, like you know, the people that were under contract with Disney at the time that they could use
Drew
their
Carey
images.
And
Drew Carey and Whoopi Goldberg and I think Antonio Banderas or somebody like that was in it, and they had these weird characters. Well, no, everybody hated it. The ride didn't make it a year. Before they closed it. Well, then they tried to change it over. They were going to change it to, like, Goofy's ride through Hollywood, change it all the cartoon characters. Then they made it Muppets. They were going to make it a Muppets ride. And legitimately, the ride, they changed it where it was, like, Muppet construction crew in there talking about how bad the old ride was. So they were riff tracking their own ride
on
the
way
through. And they did that for a while, and nobody liked that either. Aww. And now, apparently,
it's Monsters, Inc.
It's a Monsters, Inc. ride. Yeah. Now everybody loves it. It's the exact same ride, the same track. The characters, they just dressed over into, like...
They put them in, like, the hazmat suits.
The hazmat suits, and that's it, yeah.
That's hilarious.
But I just watched that Defunct Land.
We just watched, speaking of theme park stuff, we just watched basically, so Universal got into bed with Nintendo. Universal and Japan have already announced, like, their basic idea of what they want to put together.
Right.
And Florida will be one of the next ones in line after they get it built in Japan.
Right.
And so, tentatively, the plans are for a Mario Kart ride where they'll actually build, like, locations from the game. So, like, a Rainbow Road section and Bowser's Castle.
Will they be sending people flying off Rainbow Road? Because
they should.
I can never stay on Rainbow Road for an entire...
It's a motherfucker.
It is a motherfucker.
And so that's going to be one. There's going to be a Donkey Kong Country minecart kind of roller coaster. What else did they say?
I'm assuming there's got to be some sort of Zelda thing, because that would be...
They haven't announced that yet, but Universal bought Wet n' Wild on iDrive.
Okay.
And bulldozed it.
Okay.
So there's just this weird naked patch of land that's on the very tail end of iDrive, kind of maybe like 2 minutes away from Universal proper.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's there yet. And they haven't announced anything yet, so they're saying that since Harry Potter worked in both parks... Because their plan is, how do we get people to come to both parks equally?
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that they're going to bulldoze the kiddie area at Old Universal.
Oh, thank God.
Everything except for E.T. is getting kaput. Curious George, Day in the Park with Barney, Woody Woodpecker, Animal Show.
Which, thank God, because all that can suck it.
Goodbye. E.T. will be the only thing left standing over there. But they're saying once that's a success, they will build another Nintendo area in Islands of Adventure and possibly even in this weird naked patch of land too. Because that's their grand scheme of like, well, fuck having exclusive rides at whatever park. Their gimmick will be in this park and in this park. Go to both.
But I guess that makes me question then, does it ultimately end up diluting both parks because they don't have...
I feel like if you do it at the same time it does, but with Harry Potter it really didn't.
But Harry Potter, at least in that one, they definitely took two completely different aspects of it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Hogwarts and Diagon Alley.
Right. So that's my point. Is like, if the old Universal park is Mario themed, then you could have a whole Zelda themed one in Islands.
That's true, because the other thing they mentioned was the there's the Yoshi ride.
Oh, right. There's going to be like a Dumbo, like Dumbo kind of a ride-ish of Yoshi.
But you can do like a little ride on the other colored Yoshis, and then a big restaurant and a giant toad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, mushroom, sorry. Toadstool. Toad. Yeah.
I need something with Bob-ombs and...
Right.
And the,
oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of merch.
And the bullet. The bullet.
But they said that the plan is to maybe have it built by 2021, which is exactly when Disney's going to be jerking itself off for its big anniversary.
Right, and then Star Wars and all that will be open by then. So,
so that's Universal's like, we're going to combat Star Wars with Nintendo. Which is not a bad plan.
I've also been reading a lot about the, because I've always wondered about the Marvel thing in Universal.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they have, from what I'm reading now, apparently they, the only way that Marvel leaves Universal is if Universal decides to get rid of Marvel.
Which is what I've said since day one, and all of you motherfuckers are telling me different. So you can all take turns sucking it, because that shit's staying. The Spider-Man ride is the shit. Anyway.
The Spider-Man ride is the shit. That is an amazing ride. But
that is, I think, their best, like, if they were going to give a PowerPoint about, like, simulator rides being the jam, I feel like that's your beginning, middle, and end. Because there's other simulator rides that are like, eh. But that one is like...
They've got a they love the simulator rides there, by the way. They really heart the
I feel like they their thought process is that they excel at them, because Disney doesn't necessarily phone that, like, go down that route.
Right.
So Universal's like, well, instead of trying to do the animatronics thing, which they clearly have a monopoly on.
Yeah, and especially
we're
if you've
do
ever
this other one.
Especially if you've ever written the Cat in the Hat ride, that definitely proves that's the case.
So
oof. Yeah.
Oof.
So so I feel like they just were like, oh, well, we'll just do the simulator thing and we'll excel at that. And it's like, well, yeah, but the difference is you can have technically animatronics in several rides, but they can look and act totally differently.
Right.
Whereas a simulator ride is kind of a simulator ride is kind of a simulator ride.
Right.
And it also doesn't help the fact that you've got two of the same fucking simulator ride in your park,
right.
Spider-Man and Transformers, which is literally the same ride.
Right.
It's just a different fucking screen programming and
right.
some slightly different props. So, anyways... What a Christmassy episode we've had here. So yeah, 2018.
So what? So we'll wind up on this. What is your wish list? What is your wrestling wish list? We'll get one wrestling thing in here in this episode. What is your wrestling? If you're sitting on Santa's lap right now, for wrestling for 2018, for the show or just for wrestling in general, what are you sitting on Santa's lap asking for?
For him to not touch me there first.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just laughing about you sit on Santa's lap.
It's consensual. It's a consensual lap sitting.
I joked when I took the girls to sit on Santa's lap. I joked about taking Cheyenne off and sitting down on Santa's lap. Santa looked really scared, so I decided to stop. But
good.
It was,
you're a good man. I don't know. You go first. Because you own a company involved with wrestling.
So I'm looking to fuck my day job, man. Like, I kind of told my boss, like, hey, I want to cut down to part-time, and he's probably going to tell me no, and then I'm going to tell him I'm definitely quitting then. So, like...
I said Jake Parnell supposedly just quit his job,
yeah,
so...
No, about it.
So, who knows? We might be following suit. Which is this item for me?
Fully, fully gimmicked in 2018.
Exactly.
Right? I don't know, I guess, like, for both Fully Gimmicked and the IndieCast, I want to get somebody working with us that's, like, so big that it'll just blow all of our minds. That's my goal. Like, I want, like, double shot, like, Joey Ryan working with us on t-shirts and being a guest on the IndieCast or something crazy like that. Although, he's working on Hot Topic now, so who knows, but...
Yeah, right. I was gonna say, we're not touching that dong money.
Yeah, like... but something on that level, just something fucking ridiculous that it's like, this is insanity. Mm-hmm. That would be for me.
For the show, yeah, I definitely... One huge name guest sometime next year. Like, how did we get this person to actually be on the show? And we've had a few of those in the past.
Right. Oh, yeah. And we've had great guests this past season. We've had great guests.
Uncle Bob Evans, still to this day, how did we get him on the show? Mike Quackenbush, how did we get him on the show?
Yeah,
you know, I can name others, some that were in the news recently, so I'm going to skip.
Yeah, let's skip that.
But, yeah, I need the, like, one or two, I would love one or two big names on that one. For us, I want to try to really make, and I think I said on Twitter not too long ago, I want to make 2018 the year of the wrestling nerd. Mm-hmm. I would love to somehow find a way to raise the ships up of us and Hammerfist into a into becoming a, you know, somehow better known in this, like, monster just
saturated ocean
of wrestling podcasts that are out there. And I know that that's what we're fighting against some days, but, but I think we're a better goddamn show than most of them. That's me.
Also, I feel like goal outside of show is we got to get you doing more commentary.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I've been kind of putting hints out there to a certain Florida-based owner of a company who will hopefully maybe ignite our career into doing commentary. Not that I'm hinting at anything here at all, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I definitely want to do more commentary and. I definitely, whatever I can do more on the indie scene right now. I mean, I'd probably be no good at setting up or anything like that, but commentary or, I would like to, you know, I kind of want to steal your thunder once. I'd like to do an announce gig one time just to say I did it. I don't think I'll be able to, you know, be able to overtake your job by any stretch of the imagination, but.
Listen, you've got the voice. I actually have a weird bruise on my forearm because I got out of the ring and the stairs were on the wrong side for me. So I did like the little like whip around the post thing, but I had the microphone in my hand. So I just kind of did this, like I just used my forearm.
I was there when you did that. Yeah. You actually hurt yourself.
Yeah,
I
had like a big bruise on my forearm from it because I'm a dum-dum.
Good times.
Yeah. And I don't want to fall on my ass when I jump off the ring apron. So
it's tough. And I want Punk Pro to be big too, by the way, since we kind of got some interest in that.
Too.
I would like Punk Pro to become a talked about company up in that, you know, AIW and, you know, AWE and, you know, I don't know if, you know,
it's probably going to take a little Southern Underground and all that.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while for it to become like Chikara level type stuff, but I think it could easily, you know, start to move its way up in that ladder at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I want David Starr on one more time because that's our yearly tradition.
That's true.
I'm sure we'll make that happen. And I would like somebody to send us a wrestling related porn so we can do another porn.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's call arms there.
Dear porn people, could somebody have a porn video come out that
I'm just like, yes.
Get in contact with Wood Rocket and have them. I follow Tommy Pistol on Instagram or on Twitter. I will message him. We need to make a new wrestling porno and then we'll riff it on this show.
No, Wood Rocket can do no wrong. I love them so much.
They just made weird. They just made the Hamilton porno parody.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's called Hamilton.
Nice.
So everyone, thank you all for listening. Of course, we are always thankful in the holiday season for all of our dozens and dozens listening. And for the this is the OG. It's the OG shit here.
OG
for the three of us.
Oh, hold it. Get out your.
Yeah, and so
get out your proper names here because we did have holiday names.
Proper
true.
Names.
I gotta.
So for everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to a holiday themed IndieCast After Dark. And I am, of course, Dumpling Yule Thrust.
I am apparently Beard Bush Meat Pole.
I am Gravy Large Bells.
And until the next time,
deuces.
Ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho.